today's decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in Shelby County versus United States struck down an important part of the Voting Rights Act, Section 4, which addresses what jurisdictions have an obligation to comply with a special requirement called preclearance. So the Voting Rights Act is a landmark law that was enacted in 1965 by Congress to combat pervasive race discrimination in voting. It was passed shortly after the Selma, Alabama attack by Alabama State Police on nonviolent demonstrators protesting their inability to vote in the state of Alabama. One particularly important part of the law is called Section 5. And Section 5 imposes on certain jurisdictions a special requirement called preclearance. And the special requirement is that the jurisdictions that are covered have to enact all changes with respect to voting. They have to submit those changes to either a three-judge court in Washington, D.C., or the U.S. Department of Justice for approval before they can come into force. And this particular requirement was important because it was meant to prevent case-by-case litigation in jurisdictions where there was a pervasive history of discrimination against primarily African-American voters. Another part of the act, which was the subject of the ruling today, Section 4, determined what jurisdictions were required to comply with Section 5's preclearance requirement. In 1965, Congress had reverse-engineered a formula based on a couple of things, including voter registration and turnout data, to cover most of the jurisdictions that had a pervasive history of racial discrimination. And that included most states in the South, including all the state of Virginia. Section 5 was initially enforced for a five-year period. Congress renewed it three times, 1970, 1975, and 1982. During that time, some jurisdictions were added to the coverage, including the state of Texas, and a handful of jurisdictions were also removed in a process called bailout. It's also important to note the Supreme Court had heard a number of previous challenges to Section 5's constitutionality as well as the coverage formula in Section 4, starting with the Katzenbach versus South Carolina case in 1966, and several other Supreme Court decisions since then. The act was due to expire in 2006. Starting in 2005, Congress had a series of extensive hearings about the need, potential need to renew Section 5's preclearance requirement. After thousands of pages of testimony and witnesses and other data that were considered by Congress, Congress voted overwhelmingly 98-0 in the Senate and with over 300 votes in the House to renew Section 5 for an additional 25-year period. Shortly after the law was passed, there was actually a previous challenge in a 2009 Supreme Court case called Northwest Austin. In that case, the court had expressed some concern that the coverage formula originally devised in 1965 was outdated, no longer tied to current acts of discrimination. But the Supreme Court essentially declined it to decide the constitutional question in that case on a technical issue. And essentially, that case was sort of a warning shot to Congress that the formula they had enacted in 1965 and then renewed most recently in 2006 had some potential constitutional problems that Congress should consider a more narrow tailoring of the preclearance requirement. So after that decision, another case brought by a jurisdiction in Alabama, Shelby County, that was covered jurisdiction for Section 5, challenged it. Shelby County did, in fact, have a history of receiving, received several previous objections under Section 5, preventing them from implementing certain voting changes due to a concern about potential racial discrimination. Shelby County sued in 2010. The case in both the trial court and the D.C. Circuit, both of those courts affirmed the constitutionality of Section 5 as well as the coverage formula in Section 2. And today, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, overrule both of the lower courts and held that the scope of coverage in Section 4 was unconstitutional because changing conditions meant that it was no longer justified to continue to burden many of the covered jurisdictions with this preclearance requirement. In particular, the majority said that Section 5 disfavored a subset of states with this extraordinary legislation, otherwise unfamiliar to the federal system, and found it wasn't justified by current evidence of voter discrimination. If a very strong dissent by four justices went into the extensive history of the 2005-2006 congressional testimony, and basically said that they thought that Congress's decision to reenact the coverage formula in 2006 was justified by all the evidence that Congress had considered in its hearings. So what's the practical implication of this decision? The immediate impact is that all the formerly covered jurisdictions will no longer have to comply with Section 5's preclearance requirement, meaning that any change in the law that they enact with respect to voting will become immediately effective rather than having to be pre-cleared by either the three-judge court in D.C. or the Justice Department. Somewhat longer-term implications I see. One is that I suspect that there will be a push to pass a revised coverage formula that might be permissible under the court. The court's decision, in fact, stated that Congress may draft another formula based on current conditions. But there are a couple potential problems with a new coverage formula. The first is that it's unclear from the court's decision exactly what type of formula would satisfy the five-justice majority in this case. Perhaps even more significantly, Congress is very deeply divided, and given its difficulty passing legislation in other fields, I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to see new legislation pass both the House and the Senate, although I do expect that there will be efforts among some legislators to enact, at least introduce some bills with a more narrowly tailored coverage formula. The second important implication I see is that the focus, I think, will shift to another provision of the Voting Rights Act called Section 2. And Section 2 allows the Justice Department as well as private plaintiffs to challenge voting laws that may have either a racially discriminatory impact or were enacted with a racially discriminatory purpose. So this private litigation is another means in which parties can challenge potentially discriminatory laws. The drawbacks of Section 2 litigation is that it's expensive, it tends to be very time-consuming, and while I think it will be used widely for things like statewide redistricting plans that are very politically contentious, the evidence in the past has shown that historically Section 5 has had the most impact on local jurisdictions, things like changing polling places, cities annexing certain jurisdictions that may change the racial composition of the city. And so I think that one of the areas in which this change will be most strongly felt is that Section 2 litigation won't fully address some of the smaller changes that were covered by Section 5.